The new MacBook Pro has been super controversial, and contrary to popular belief, it's actually a decent laptop, but I'm still returning mine for a refund. Let me tell you why. This video is going to sound like I hate the new MacBook Pro, but I really don't. There's actually a lot to like, so let's talk about the improvements for a minute. Build quality, even for a MacBook Pro, is truly top-notch. This thing is built better than every Apple laptop that has preceded it, and it makes the competition look and feel so much cheaper. The screen on this thing is my favorite upgrade. It is fantastic. It's significantly brighter than the outgoing model, and Apple has upgraded to a wider color gamut panel. It provides a 25% deeper color space, which is mostly noticeable with the reds and greens, which look fantastic. And there's better contrast ratio, which means the blacks are blacker and the whites are whiter. The screen is just simply gorgeous. I love it. This next one surprised me, but the keyboard is actually excellent. Yes, Apple has moved to this new low-travel butterfly switch they're obsessed with, but it's much better than the one that's in the 12-inch MacBook, which has mushy keys. This new keyboard requires a nice amount of force to actuate the keys, and even though the keys are a short throw, they don't feel like they bottom out. Even as a mechanical keyboard user, this is my favorite laptop keyboard ever, and it's really easy to type really fast on. Dare I say, it almost feels slightly, mechanical. Depending on how deep your pockets are, and they better be pretty darn deep, you can get a really great processor. The new Kaby Lake 7th Gen processors for high-end notebooks aren't due out until January, so Apple has opted for last year's Skylake CPUs instead. Now, my fully loaded 15-inch configuration has the Intel i7-6920HQ, which is the second most expensive laptop CPU that Intel sells, and it performs really well. Sort of. Benchmarks in real-world performance reveal that the MacBook Pro is incredibly snappy and pretty much on par with other PCs on the market. But when I used Adobe Premiere to export a 30-minute 4K benchmark, the CPU rose to 103 degrees Celsius. Now, if you aren't familiar with CPU temperatures, that's really, really balls hot. Apple is Apple. They don't like their computers to make noise. So the fans don't ramp up in speed until it's already too late, the CPU is already too hot, and the computer thermal throttles itself with the fans on full speed, which are very loud, for several minutes until it can get the temperatures back under control. It's so annoying. Many people are complaining about USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 being the only ports on this machine. And I'll complain alongside you. Dongles suck, but I am really glad that Apple went this route. Apple has been doing the same kind of shenanigans for years. This is not the first time. They killed the floppy drive and the DVD drive really early on, and people were pissed then, just like they're pissed now. But do you know what? Apple has a ton of leverage, and by eliminating USB-A on their flagship notebook, of which they sell very many, they're forcing the adoption of native USB-C devices. And I know PCs have had USB-C for several years and Thunderbolt 3 for almost 2 years, but Apple will be the one to push the accessory industry to a far superior connector much more quickly. It's gonna suck to use dongles for a couple months, and rebuying accessories with a different connector style is not my jam either, but you know what? It's a bold move, and it's going to adopt a better technology more quickly. So bravo, Apple. I just don't wanna have to deal with it right now. The new trackpad is freaking enormous. Like seriously, it's the size of my hand. And I feel like nobody was asking for a bigger trackpad, but I guess Apple felt like we needed one. I mean, thanks Apple, it's fine, but I kind of disagree because I don't ever use the extremities of the new trackpad because you have to move your entire hand and your hand is attached to your arm. And so you're moving your whole arm and that's just not comfortable. Now, one thing that is pissing me off is that when I rest my palm in the bottom right corner of the trackpad, which previously was bare aluminum, when I click the middle of the trackpad with my index finger, the computer thinks I'm trying to right click because my palm is resting on the bottom right hand side of the trackpad. So I've had to teach myself to raise my hand off the trackpad just to click so I don't right click. It's super irritating, and hopefully a software update will fix and improve palm rejection. So I know many of you are getting antsy about the Touch Bar, and Apple fanboys, I hate to disappoint, but I don't really care about it. I will admit that the Touch ID fingerprint sensor is great. It's so awesome, in fact, that having to type my password out on my other desktops and laptops now feels tedious. An excellent 1Password integration amongst other third-party apps makes it even better. Touch ID is great. The actual Touch Bar, however, hasn't won me over. Sure, for the first couple of days it was fun to play with, but now after 2 weeks I don't use it at all. Other than control brightness, volume, and the escape key, which I hit way more than I thought I did. Muscle memory makes adjusting volume and brightness super easy. I don't miss the keys that much, but I do miss the escape key because I'm still caught off guard every single time I go to reach for it and I feel a non-moving cold piece of glass hit my finger. I really wish Apple would have put the Taptic Engine that's in the touch bar, that's in the trackpad up in the touch bar area, because a real click feeling would have made the touch bar way better. The main issue I have with the touch bar, though, is that it changes in every single app. So it's very hard to memorize the virtual layout of that muscle memory keyboard, because your eyes move off of the main display to look down at your hands to touch a button that takes action on something that happens back on the main display, which feels so unintuitive and it clashes with macOS's simple user experience. It's very un-Apple-like. Furthermore, there's not a single touch bar feature that I found in the apps that I use that can be done with a keyboard shortcut. So it might be useful for people who are noobs and don't know shortcuts, but even the most slightly computer literate will not be impressed. Maybe third-party developers will make something brilliant out of it, but for now, I'm seriously underwhelmed. I still want a touchscreen Mac, and this is not it. Battery life is disappointing. I mean, it's so frustrating. The MacBook Pro has been famous for having great battery life for years for a full-size laptop. But that fame ends with this generation. In the pursuit of stupid thinness, Apple has reduced battery capacity on both models by more than 25%. And the logic was, oh yeah, Skylake CPUs, they're way more efficient than last year's models. And that's true, but the brighter screen sucks up way more juice, and now we've got the touch bar running in the background 24/7. So day-to-day tasks like email and web browsing with conservative screen brightness only let me get about 5 hours on a charge. 5 hours. Now, if I started watching YouTube or Netflix, that number dropped to under 4 hours. And if I was video editing, oh boy, if I was video editing, even in Final Cut Pro 10, which is much more efficient than Adobe Premiere Pro, I was lucky to get 2 hours. This significant reduction in battery life from last year's model is inexcusable. And for what? A slightly thinner machine? It's so idiotic. As if that wasn't annoying enough, the new MacBook Pro has been, without a doubt, the buggiest Mac I've owned in the 15 years that I've owned and used Macs. Weird stuff has happened like this. Like this. And this. I've had to reboot the machine at least once every single day, and I'm not the only one with issues. There are forum threads dozens and dozens of pages long filled with similar issues like this. Get this, this is the best story. So I installed Windows the first day I got the machine. Apple provides an app called Bootcamp, and they prepare drivers so that you can use Windows. They advertise it, it's a completely sanctioned way to install Windows on your Mac. Well, when I installed Apple's Bootcamp drivers, it sent a loud popping noise through the speakers, and the speakers are now both blown out. Like, literally, the speaker does not make noise anymore on the left, and the right speaker is extremely distorted. So everyone's like, oh, the speakers are great. I have no idea, because mine are ruined. Faulty Apple software literally ruined my $3,300 machine the day I bought it. Now, Apple engineers were quick to fix the problem, and they offered me and other people that had those same issues free hardware replacements, even though we have to wait 4 to 6 weeks. It's so frustrating. This is the buggiest Mac I've ever used. Speaking of Windows, let's talk about graphics performance. Now, Macs have never had good dedicated graphics, nor integrated graphics, and this year's model is no exception. I paid $250 extra to have the highest GPU configuration, which is an AMD Radeon Pro 460 with 4 gigs of VRAM based on AMD's new Polaris architecture. Now, this chip did help shave a couple of minutes off my export when compared to the 2015 MacBook Pro, although that may be a disparity in CPU power, I'm not really sure. But when I tried to game in Windows, performance was pretty similar to past MacBooks. That is to say, bad. Now, Apple fanboys, before you go crying wolf, yes, Bootcamp installs AMD Catalyst software and the drivers, and Windows fully recognizes and supports this GPU. So it's not that it's not supported. These are the results. Even at 1080p, Rocket League, which for whatever it's worth is not a very graphically intensive game, had worse performance than a PlayStation 4 at a dismal 24 frames per second average. CPU intensive games, which should do relatively well because the CPU on here is powerful as long as the GPU is respectable, games like City Skylines and Planet Coaster both ran terribly at an unplayable 10 to 25 frames per second, with it dropping to under 7 frames per second in some areas. Now I thought, being that this chip is based on Polaris, it should be better at Vulkan titles. And so I loaded up Doom, and I was right. At 1080p in ultra settings, I was able to get a 47 frames per second average on Doom. Not bad. Not great, mind you, but certainly playable. Now, I know what you're already thinking. Sadly, despite this machine having Thunderbolt 3, Apple doesn't officially support eGPUs. So current solutions on the market are really janky and very inelegant. Check out my video on the matter here. So what I'm trying to say is, don't expect to buy a Razer Core for this machine, and don't expect to play games very well, if at all. Last but certainly not least, everything, including the RAM, even the SSD, everything is soldered to the motherboard. No user replaceable parts. That means the way you buy the machine is the way it will be forever. I hate this, and not just because I'm forced to pay an idiotic and offensive $400 to upgrade from a 512GB NVMe SSD to a 1TB drive, but because if something breaks in the computer, you have to RMA the whole machine, and it's incredibly expensive to fix if you're out of warranty. It sucks. While it may not have sounded like it, the 2016 MacBook Pro with Touch Bar is actually a decent computer. It is. That said, it's a terrible, terrible value, and it's ridiculously overpriced. Premium Windows laptops handily outperform this computer, even the fully loaded $4,000 MacBook Pro, at less than half the cost, with still very nice build quality. There are simply too many compromises to justify the ludicrous price point, which is about $700 more than last year's comparable MacBook Pros. And that doesn't include depreciation, so now it's more like $1,000 more than a similar model from last year. So get a PC, or get last year's MacBook Pro. You'll get all the I/O, the USB ports, and the SD card slots you need for the tech you already own today. You'll get much better battery life. Stupid thin computer. You'll get user replaceable parts, a trackpad that doesn't struggle with palm rejection, a bug-free experience, and more. In a year or two, I can see this form factor of MacBook Pro being really great. But this year is not that year, and I recommend you skip it. I'm returning mine to the Apple Store. Thank you for watching. Please like this video if you found it useful. If you didn't, that other button seems to work okay too. Support us by using our Amazon affiliate link in the video description below to shop for MacBooks or other comparable computers. And as always, stay snazzy.